From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Pikes Peak Center for the Performing Arts in Colorado Springs, Colorado, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. We got a great show for you today. We are here in Colorado Springs, home to the United States Air Force Academy. The academy was placed here in the 50s in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains so the cadets could rack up flying time by running down the hills, flapping their arms and yelling, "Wee!" The superintendent of the Air Force Academy, General Michael Gould, would be joining us to play Not My Job. We arranged for him, we thought this would be dramatic, to make his entrance by parachute, but we forgot we're actually indoors here. So we're sending an intern up to the roof to find him. While we do that, why don't you give us a call? The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sophia Chin from Waltham, Massachusetts.
Hey, how are things in Waltham?
It's great.
It's a great place. I've been there. What do you do there?
I am a manager of professional development.
A manager of professional development?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds vague and sinister.
Is that social work?
It is social work. I train social workers.
I see. Well, welcome to our show, Sophia. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and the man behind everything you might find at Baudette.com, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hello, Sophia.
Hi, Tom.
Also say hello to an actor and a writer who is the host of Tree Hugger TV on Planet Green, Miss Faith Saley.
Hi, Sophia.
Hello.
And lastly, it's a comedian and a filmmaker and the author of the new book, Satiristas, Mr. Paul Prevenza.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Sophia. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I am so good.
Sophia, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Of course, Carl Castle is going to recreate three quotations from the week's news. Your job, simply explain or identify two of them. Do that, you win our prize. Ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Here is your first quote.
When a cowboy in underwear with a guitar is the bass line, man acting suspiciously tells us nothing.
That was John Dickerson in Slate.com. He was commenting how lucky we are that the people noticed a particularly odd guy in Times Square who, as it turns out, was trying to do what?
To blow up Times Square using a
cup. Exactly right. Yes. That's right. Accused bomber Faisal Shahad is not the brightest terrorist there is. I mean, the cave light's on, but nobody's hiding in there, if you know what I mean. He wanted to make a fertilizer bomb, so he filled up his SUV with Miracle-Gro, threw in a match, and then headed over to the ESPN zone. Didn't blow up, of course, but observant vendors became suspicious because of the gigantic tomatoes growing out of the window. The FBI managed to track this guy down very quickly, and this is true. He left his house keys in the car, attached, no doubt, to one of those souvenir New York license plate key rings with the name Faisal on it. He must have been like, "Finally, I found a Faisal."
You get the feeling he was sitting around going, "Okay, the guy with the thing in the underwear, that was bad, but I think I can be worse."
You think he can be worse?
Yeah, before they found out it was Faisal, before they told us, they were looking for a white guy that they saw in that video. And so I assumed that they were profiling stupid-looking white guys. And on the weekend, before Faisal came to light, I was actually at the gas station buying propane for my outdoor grill, and I was feeling observed. I felt really, I felt like I was trying to bring a gun onto a flight or something. A stupid-looking white guy. I mean, and I do face it. I look stupid in shorts and a ball cap.
So, somewhat sinister. I mean, honestly, this guy had to be the worst terrorist in the world. I mean, it turns out he did train at a camp in Pakistan, but it wasn't a very good one. I mean, all the alumni in their Hall of Fame wall are still alive.
Don't you like what his words were when they found him on the plane? Apparently, he said, "I was expecting you." like some like evil guy. And you know he wasn't. They had pulled away from the gate. It was he you know, he was in his, like, socks for the red eye with his Diet Sprite and his Nicholas Sparks book, and he was like, I'm going to make it! I'm going to make it!
All right, Sophia, your next quote comes from a shrimp fisherman in Mississippi.
Nobody wants no oily shrimp.
That man was complaining about what?
The oil spill in the Gulf.
Exactly right. The destroyed Deepwater Horizon well in the Gulf of Mexico is the worst oil spill in U.S. history, but of course this is America, so you know what we're going to do. We're going to look for someone to blame. The Obama administration blamed BP, the oil company that owned the rig. BP blamed the contractor that ran the rig for them. The contractor blamed the dinosaurs for laying down and dying 100 million years ago. Why couldn't they have turned their bodies into something soluble in water, huh?
Do you think that Palin's slogan for 2012 will be spill, baby, spill?
It could be. So it's leaking into the Gulf. The oil stain is spreading. The latest plan is to make a giant box to cover the leaking well 5,000 feet down and siphon it through a pipe straight to the surface. If this were an action movie, imagine Bruce Willis diving to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico with an enormous juice box.
Yeah. But you got to get them walking slow motion out to the chopper that's
exactly.
going to take them out there.
Meanwhile, this is true. Hair salons along the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Did you hear this?
Yeah.
They're collecting human hair because human hair is very absorbent.
And dog hair.
Dog hair, too?
Yeah, and this is great. Pantyhose. Did you hear about the pantyhose thing?
No, they're stopping. What they're doing is they're taking the hair, they're going to make like bolsters and put it in the Gulf to suck up the oil.
And pantyhose does it, too. But nowadays, so few people wear pantyhose that they've had to go to San Francisco to find it because that's where the most pantyhose is sold because of transvestites. This is true.
Wait a minute.
And you can get the extra large.
Yeah, that's right.
So now in the movie, Bruce Willis is going after transvestites saying, I need your hosiery. Now.
Right.
And they're like, I've dreamed
drop
of this,
that
Bruce.
Hose. Yeah.
But did you see this? Speaking of blame, Michael Heck of a Job Brownie went on Fox to accuse the Obama administration of deliberately causing the disaster. It's great to know that in the years since Katrina, he's still out there. Not so much providing disaster assistance, but assisting disasters. For example, recently he was in Iceland blowing on the volcano to make it hotter. Then last week he was seen in Times Square helping an out-of-towner in a Pathfinder find a parking space. Here's your last quote.
Vote early, vote often, vote drunk.
That was blogger Andrew Sullivan commenting on the fact that pubs were used as polling places in what country on Thursday?
Britain.
Exactly, Great Britain. The parliamentary elections in Great Britain resulted in a hung parliament. The Conservative Party grabbed a majority of the seats, but not enough to govern. By tradition, this means the Queen gets to select the Prime Minister. So President Obama will look forward to continuing the special relationship with an adorable corgi dog. Now, this was interesting because this was Britain's first real American-style election. Were you following this? They had debates in front of colorful backdrops on TV. They had slick, provocative ads. When the phone rings at 3 a.m., who do you want saying, cheerio? Instead of Joe the plumber, meet Nigel the chimney sweep. A charming cockney who was worried that the Liberal Democrats would make him wash his adorable face.
Because the Brits just want a leader who they can have tea with.
Exactly. Have a disgustingly warm beer with. That's what they want.
I like it was their first American-style election. It's their most historically screwed up one they've had.
Yes. Funny how that works. But this is also true. Did you know this? That over there, Obama remains very popular. They're all trying to be the British Obama. They were all claiming that mantle. Gordon Brown actually legally changed his name to Gordon Hussein Brown.
You're not going to out-Obama me.
Carl, how did Sophia do in our quiz?
Well, you can't do better, Peter. She had 3 correct answers, so she wins our prize.
Well done, Sophia. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Faith, in the 18th century, some of our founding fathers created the state seal of Virginia with its figure of Virtus, the Roman goddess of virtue. That may have been fine for back then, but the Attorney General of Virginia just recently updated the seal by doing what?
Did they It was the goddess, like, unclothed and did
not anymore.
Her?
Yes, exactly right.
Right. Wow.
The attorney general changed the seal by covering up the goddess's exposed breasts.
Who's the attorney general? Ashcroft?
No, actually, one of his disciples, apparently. Well, as designed in 1776, the spirit of virtue is dressed in the traditional toga, which exposes one breast.
I'll
according to myth, she only did this because Jupiter threw her some beads. But on these special lapel pins that Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli gave his staff, Virtus is wearing an armored breastplate, all covered up. After a lot of press, a few days later, he announced that he was, quote, discontinuing future use of the pin, unquote. However, he is going forward with some other initiatives. He plans to refer to his state of Virginia only as ya, as that first part just makes people think about sex. Also, George Washington's home, Mount Vernon, will now be called Exchange a Firm Handshake with Vernon. Right now, it is, of course, time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. We'll call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Ricky Robinson from Salt Lake City.
Hey, how are things in Salt Lake?
Things are great, if we can beat the Lakers this weekend.
Are you yourself playing?
I'm not, but it's a team effort.
All right, I'm sure they appreciate your support. Ricky, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what's Ricky's topic?
Justice denied.
We all know justice is blind, but does she have to be such a jerk? This week, we read about someone being rebuffed in their pursuit of what they felt they deserved in a court of law. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about people not getting what they needed. Choose the true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail if you prefer. Ready to play?
Yes, sir.
First up, let's hear from Tom Baudet.
Paul Brune had it all. A wife, two kids, a house in the burbs with a big honking SUV out front. What he no longer had was an income, and one fine day in January, while Mr. Brune was out looking for work, repo man Jason Allwine came for the SUV. That was his job. Flirting with Mrs. Brune was not. 2 weeks later, she left her husband for the repo man and took the kids. 2 weeks after that, the bank foreclosed on the house, and it was bought at auction for half price by, you guessed it, Mr. Allwine and the soon-to-be ex-Mrs. Brune. What do you do when somebody steals your life? You sue. Paul Brune used the last of his money to hire a lawyer and take Mr. Allwine to court. The judge was not impressed. Not only did he find no wrongdoing, but ruled the claim frivolous and ordered Mr. Brune to pay Mr. Allwine's legal fees. Justice is not served, at least not yet. Mr. Brune begins work Monday on his new job as a repo man.
A repo man comes for the car and takes everything. Your next story of somebody not getting what's coming to them comes from Faith Saley.
6.5-year-old Atticus Thernstrom wants a sibling. A little brother, specifically. But if he can't have that, he'd like a dog who talks or a little sister, in that order. But his parents won't give him what he wants, and neither will the law. The child unsuccessfully sued his parents on 2 counts of abuse and neglect because he claims, they never want to play with me because they're always reading. The boy's attorney in the case is his uncle, who says, I think every kid should have a sibling, even if he told you you were adopted and made you pull his finger. Atticus's mother, Dr. Odette Hilden, professor of child psychology at Middlebury College, sighs, I guess this is the dark side of raising a precocious kid.
A little boy sues to get the little brother he's always wanted. Your last story of justice just not happening comes from Paul Prevenza.
Hilarity ensues when a half-black, half-Swedish woman marries into a New Jersey Jewish family. And stand-up comedian Sundra Kronquist made a career out of it until her in-laws sued her for libel and slander over jokes about them in her act. She ridicules us in front of everyone, said her mother-in-law. It gives me such psoas, like we don't have enough problems. But a federal judge has ruled that jokes about her in-laws nagging and whining and lines like she has a voice like a sick cat in heat are, quote, colorful rhetoric that reasonable minds would not take as factual. Upon hearing the decision, Kronquist's father-in-law said, "That judge should spend 10 minutes with my wife. Let me tell you, the cat and heat thing, that's a fact. Believe me."
So these are your three stories. From Tom Baudet, the story of a man who sued the repo man who repoed everything. From Faith Saley, the story of a little boy who sued his own parents to get a little brother. And from Paul Prevenza, the story of a mother-in-law who sued the daughter-in-law to stop the mother-in-law jokes. Which of these is the real story in the week's news?
Oh, man. I really like story number two, so I'm going to go with number two.
You're going to go with Faith's story of the 6.5-year-old boy who sued his parents to get the little brother.
That's right.
All right, that's your choice. Well, we spoke to somebody who was involved in this lawsuit.
One of the jokes that I used is that my mother-in-law is made of steel. She went to China, there was an earthquake, she got back to Brooklyn unscathed.
That was Sunda Kronquist, the LA-based comedian who was in fact sued by her mother-in-law to stop the mother-in-law jokes. Unfortunately, as you now know, it was Paul who had the true story. You didn't win our prize, but you did win a point for Faith and probably gave a lot of interesting ideas to little boys everywhere. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing. But thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The worst person I know. Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
How she worries me so.
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
And now the game where we like to make people say to themselves, "Hey, I outrank this." High above this city of Colorado Springs is the campus of the United States Air Force Academy, from which Lieutenant General Michael C. Gould graduated in 1976. Last year, after spending many years flying lots of planes in a lot of dangerous places, he became the superintendent of the Academy. General Gould, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's an honor to have you here. We have a lot of questions to ask, but first, you're a pilot, of course.
I am.
I've been for many years. So what's your call sign? Maverick, Hut Lips, what?
You're close.
What?
No, actually, it's Coach.
Coach.
Yeah.
Now, you don't get to pick your own call sign if you're a pilot. It's chosen for you.
It's usually chosen in a real embarrassing way, as a matter of fact.
Yours doesn't seem embarrassing, though. That seems actually kind of flattering.
Well, as it should be
there
for
you are.
A lieutenant general.
Now, talk to us a little about the Air Force Academy. The Air Force Academy, the newest of the three great service academies, West Point for the Army, Annapolis for the Navy. So they set up the Air Force Academy in the 50s. Those other institutions are very old. This was new. Did you have to invent tradition so you could have that same kind of air of history about you?
Well, what we take pride in is we continue to make up new traditions as
right.
we go along, but we do...
I do that all the time.
Well, you got it.
So sometimes traditions come from history. Sometimes traditions are just when a bunch of faculty members get drunk off campus and say, "Wouldn't it be fun if we made them do that?" Oh, yeah, here at the Air Force Academy, you got to get naked and jump through the hoop. Let's go. Come on. Everybody does it.
I didn't know those stories were getting out.
Yeah, there you go.
I get it.
Is one of the traditions singing You Lost That Love and Feeling a cappella?
That was a Navy.
And will you do that for us, Lieutenant?
I would love to. Actually, Elvis is my favorite, if we could do a little Elvis.
Really? Am I correct? This would qualify as a morale-building exercise.
Does that uniform give you enough pelvis room?
Yeah.
If I wasn't wired, and you better describe how I'm wired
up. You're wired up to our little radio outfit.
But I can do it sitting down.
Go.
Are you all right?
Go. Yes.
You got the hub, 2, 3, 4, occupation, GI Blue.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
And I love this. I love this because I know how competitive you guys are. And now we're going to get calls from the West Point guy wanting to come on and do Sinatra, which I'm all for. I'm assuming that most of the cadets train as pilots. It is the Air Force.
It is. Air, space, and cyber are what we're all about in the Air Force. And about half of our graduating class will go on to pilot training. The other half goes into a variety of different career fields to serve across the board.
Right.
What do you mean cyber?
Cyber, as in I can't talk about it here.
Yeah, I understand. I'm fascinated with the idea of this institution up the hill that teaches all these kids to fly these jets, because I'm trying to teach one of my daughters to ride a bicycle without training wheels, and it always ends in tears. How do you teach these young people to fly vehicles that might actually kill them?
You know, it's one of the funnest things ever. I'm an instructor pilot.
Is it?
Yeah.
I should probably have you come and teach my daughter to ride her bike.
No, it's all about confidence and building the confidence that young men and women can do something very difficult, like riding a tricycle.
Isn't it hard sometimes at the academy, because I know that all the services have high standards, and sometimes people just don't make it. That must be a tough part of your job, to sort of let the kids know that they're not reaching Air Force standards.
That's true. It's one of the toughest things I have to do, is to tell a young man or woman their career is over. But
George Clooney will do that for you.
Flying it. Yeah. You say things like, it's okay, you could probably still be a Marine. You say things like that? I'm just going by what I've heard. We keep hearing about the rivalry between the branches. Is it true or is it overblown? Does the Air Force hate the Marines, who hates the Army, who hates the Navy, who hates the Air Force?
We love each other and we all share the same mission, but we sure have a lot of fun in the athletic fields in the competition.
Oh, yeah. You do that. Now, you yourself was an athlete at the Academy, right? You're a football player.
I did. I played some football out here.
Yeah.
Coached a little bit.
Right. Do you still do that?
I call the plays during the ball games, if that's what.
Really?
You mean.
Could you do that as the superintendent?
I can do whatever I want.
Are you like? That's great. That's like President Nixon with the Redskins. You can call down plays. Look, damn it, I want to see a pass. And they have to do it. It's the military rank, right? They have to do what you say.
I think Peter's thinking of joining.
I really. Yeah. I'm thinking of getting that power and abusing it, is what I'm thinking.
Well, only a select few come in. So.
Right.
Like you said, Peter, our standards are very, very high.
Fair enough.
Lieutenant General.
Yes, ma'am.
You're so self-possessed, and here's my question. What were you, when was the time in your life you were the most afraid?
Right now.
There you are.
I don't believe it.
Would it make you more comfortable if we arranged for some anti-aircraft fire? Would you feel more at home? We can do that. So I just want to ask, this is a favor. It's a personal favor.
Okay.
You are the superintendent of the Air Force Academy. You're a lieutenant general in the Air Force. You have authority. Carl really wants a call sign. Carl, as you know, was a newscaster for 30 years, been doing this show for 12. He's an experienced magician. I'm just giving you some hints here. Gentleman, scholar, do you think you can dig one up for him? Because if you give it to him, it's his. Nobody can gainsay it.
Here's what we have to do, Carl. Come out to the bar at the Falcon Club. This is where call signs are born.
Sure.
And you have to do much more than you've done to earn a call
sign.
Right.
Well, General Gould, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
It's a bit like the Air Force Academy, except they've got top hats.
Now, the Air Force Academy goes back 50 years. That's a length of time. But compared to Eton College in Britain, the Air Force Academy is a young pup. We're going to ask you three questions about this most famous and oldest of the British public schools. Answer two questions correctly, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is the general playing for?
General Gould is playing for Dan Condon of Boulder, Colorado.
All right. Now, I know, actually.
Wouldn't you know it?
All right. Here's your first question. Okay. Eton College was founded in 1440. It's near Windsor, by the way. It was founded by King Henry VI, and as such, it's had centuries of tradition. For example, in the 16th century, Fridays were special days reserved for what purpose? A, rat hunting, B, flogging, or C, whiskey drinking? Every Friday, they'd all go off and do what? At Eton.
Was it a precursor to getting their call signs?
Yes, exactly. Oh, yes. It's actually
C,
true.
C, whiskey drinking.
No, it was actually flogging. Flogging. Fridays were days for flogging at Eton. Corporal punishment was always a big part of Etonian life. They only ended the tradition in 1983. All right, you still have two chances here. Next question. Eton's playing fields are famous not least because of the Eton Field Game. It's played only there. It's sort of like Quidditch for real people. Which of the following might happen in an Eton Field Game match? A, the Parthan kicks a Twizzle offsides and thus has to camber. B, the Bup scores a rouge after hitting off an opposing behind. Or C, 14 planets are tallied, but only the key wins the grander.
Hey, Paul, how about a hint?
I tell you, when that happens, it's a corker.
So one of those things, I mean, if somebody were doing play-by-play at an Eton Field game, they might say one of those things. Was it the Parthan kicks a Twizzle offsides and thus has to camber? The Bup scores a rouge after hitting off an opposing behind? Or 14 planets are tallied, but only the key wins the grander?
I'm going to have to say B.
You're going to go for B, the Bup scores a rouge? You're right, sir!
Wow!
The way it works is a bup is like a forward in soccer. A rouge is a point you get after hitting the ball off an opposing defender's body. He's called a behind. And then being the first person to touch it after it goes behind the goal line. Clear? Everybody ready to play?
And that's when the flogging begins.
Exactly. All right. This is exciting. One question to go. If you get this right, you win. There are student societies at Eton, some of them going back centuries, and chief among those is the Eton Society, known as POP. Once upon a time, only POP members, or poppers, had what special privilege? A, they could relieve themselves on a particular tree on campus. B, they were given special canes with which they could beat other students whenever they liked. Or C, they were the only ones allowed to chew gum. And no one else could.
I think to be consistent with the floggers, we'll go with B.
Yeah. Yes, very good. You are correct. Flogging, as we said.
Thank you.
Was an important part of life at Eton, and poppers could flog whoever they liked. Carl, how did the general do in our quiz?
Two correct answers, Peter, so General Gould wins for Dan Condon.
Well done.
Does the general know what he wins?
He wins his...
A flogging!
There you go. Hey, just out of curiosity... I know you don't flog, but how do you instill discipline? Is there punishments at the Air Force Academy?
There are. We have a lot of different punishments. Probably one of the most or least favorite is marching tours.
Marching tours?
Yes.
What is that?
A tour is 1 hour of marching back and forth with a rifle, looking straight ahead in your dress uniform. It's fun. It really is.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. And when you were a cadet, did you have to do that? Did you ever get yourself in that Dutch?
Me?
You?
Come on now. No, actually, we do have an honor code there, and I have a classmate, Doug James, out in the audience, so I'll be honest with you. I have marched a tour.
You have marched a tour. Lieutenant,
does being on this show compromise your authority in any way, shape, or form?
Compromises my integrity.
Yeah. We appreciate you making that sacrifice, sir. Lieutenant General Michael C. Gould is superintendent at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. General Gould, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for your presence here today. In just a minute, after a visit to nearby Pikes Peak, Carl considers taking up mountain rhyming. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some questions for you from the week's news. Tom, on Thursday, the Dow Jones average suddenly plunged in value at one point, losing almost 1,000 points. Although analysts say it had a lot to do with the Greek debt crisis, in fact, the panic was started by what?
It was like a computer glitch that...
No, even before the computer glitch. It was a human error. Not even whiteout could save this one.
Somebody made a mistake.
That is a solid choice.
Yes. Well done.
One more hint before I abandon all hope.
If only he had taken touch typing.
Oh, he made a typo.
He made a typo. That's what almost destroyed our economy on Thursday. Everything was chugging along normally on Wall Street Thursday. People were buying and selling. Finance wizards were shopping for slaves online. When one anonymous trader logged a routine trade in Procter & Gamble stock, we believe, and instead of typing millions of shares with an M, he typed billions with a B.
Oy.
That made it look as if there was a massive sell-off of stock underway, and traders began acting like lemmings if lemmings wore Italian suits and failed to produce anything of value.
That was a tough day.
Yeah.
They've been calling this a fat finger incident.
Is that what it was?
Fat finger, which of course speaks to America's obesity crisis.
Right. Well, they can have my fat finger. I had all my...
your middle finger.
I had all my stuff in Procter & Gamble, and when I saw that plunge, I put it all in Greek treasury bonds.
Smart. Man. Paul, Dmitry Medvedev, the president of Russia, has been asked to personally investigate a charge of espionage. It seems that a governor of a Russian republic has been accused of sharing state secrets with whom?
With the governor of Virginia, actually.
No,
I'm kidding. It's a joke. I'm sorry. With Chechen rebels?
No. I'll give you a hint. He should have just taken them to his leader, as per the custom.
With aliens.
With aliens,
yes.
Indeed. Last week, a man named Kirsan Ilyumzhinov, he's the governor of Kalmykia, he revealed in a television interview that back in 1997, aliens abducted him from his apartment and showed him around their ship while communicating with him telepathically. So a member of the Russian parliament then asked the question any of us would ask of someone who claimed to have mind-melded with aliens no one else can see. He asked, "Did you reveal any state secrets?" He's formally demanded a presidential investigation into what the governor might have told the aliens. Among his evidence, the aliens might have gotten that whole incubating inside Sigourney Weaver thing from Russian nesting dolls.
God. You know, I'm encouraged when I hear nutty stuff like that happening in other countries.
It's like all the countries get graded on a curve, and we just got... Tom, the city of Shanghai is expecting more than 70 million visitors to attend their new World Expo. In preparation for the past 2 years, officials have been trying and failing to suppress what?
Oh, Shanghai. Suppress the mosquitoes.
No?
No. Give me a hint.
Well, here's a real example. There's a traffic sign in Shanghai that reads, "Do drunken driving."
Oh, to... Stop drinking and driving.
No.
No, to do drunken driving.
No.
There's a sign that says, instead of keep off the grass, it says, "Don't tread on me, I feel pain."
Oh, boy. These clues aren't helping me at all. I have no idea. Can I pass the faith and I'll get her question?
You can pass the faith.
Chinglish, indeed.
Chinglish is what is called the weird, deformed English, often used in signs and menus in China. The Shanghai Commission for the Management of Language Use was set up to stamp out Chinglish in Shanghai, so 600 volunteers are scouring the city trying to correct all these signs. For example, all of these are real, by the way, instead of saying, "Caution, wet floor," the yellow sign says, "Execution in progress." We're going to change that. A toilet, broken toilet, the sign says, "Out of work."
Do you have any from the restaurant there? There's a couple of great restaurant ones.
There was a restaurant that advertised hot Marxist treats. This is one that we really regret. Because of this volunteer cadre, people shopping for clothes will no longer look for sizes fatso or lard bucket.
Which actually really is, that was manufactured for the American market, actually.
For the tourists. Of course, you know, we shouldn't feel so superior because we have our own form of Chinglish. We have those tattoos that everybody gets, you know, those Chinese ideograms that you got on your arm that you think says serenity. You know what it really says? It says lard bucket. Coming up, it's lightning, fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Candy Lordo.
Hey, Candy, how are you?
Just fine.
I love the name Candy. It's a great name. But did that bring unusual or unrealistic expectations to the people who met you?
Sometimes.
I understand.
Yes.
Well, Candy, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can find that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
Since domestic life fills me with dread, to my backyard again I have fled. And here in my hut, the door I keep shut, I spend a year of life in the...
head.
In the head. No, the clues include hut, backyard, hut in your backyard, maybe.
A hut in my backyard.
Might be called a...
yeah.
Nothing? How about shed?
Oh, shed.
Chances are, if you live in England anyway, if you can't find your man, he's probably because he's in the shed. According to a new study in England, the average man there spends a year of his life, over 3 hours every week, in his shed. Respondents to the survey say they spend their time working on home improvement projects, repairing machinery, or playing with their tools, which is not yet a euphemism. Here is your next limerick.
These candles make pupils grow wider. Their scent is a hunger provider. It's meaty and greasy and goes down real easy. The smell of a White Castle...
hamburger. Oh, slider.
Yes, slider. I like the hamburger. The hamburger is kind of more the free verse answer. Yeah. That's great. Very beat poetry.
Very.
I love it.
It was a surprising rhyme. Yeah. I like those. Yeah.
To some, the smell of a White Castle slider is reason enough never to eat one. Others don't feel that way. In honor of National Hamburger Month, White Castle is selling National Hamburger Month. How are you celebrating it, Tom?
Here.
White Castle is selling a White Castle slider-scented candle available for the month with proceeds going to charity. Hey, bet you can't burn just one. It's all very nice, but we just hope this does not start a trend. May, for example, is also Foot Health Month. July is National Baked Bean Month, and November is National Stamp Collecting Month. I mean, I love my grandfather, but I don't want my living room to smell like him.
I got to tell you, the great thing about White Castle is the only place where you don't feel bad about going in and going, give me eight of them. I'll eat them here.
Yeah. Here is your last limerick.
My man's an emotional muddle. He will grab all his pals in a huddle. So I think it's too much that when I want to touch, I must drug him to get him to...
cuddle.
Cuddle, yes, there you go. German men may be good at embracing bratwurst and rules, but they're apparently not very good at... embracing. So German researchers have developed something they're calling cuddle spray. It's a nasal spray laced with oxytocin, the so-called trust hormone. Those who have used it claim it makes men, quote, emotional, empathetic, and snuggly. Now that all the German men want to snuggle, researchers are desperately trying to come up with a spray that will make German men Italian.
What's the name of that spray? I want to take some of that and just spray it on the subway.
Cuddle spray. That'd be interesting to watch. Carl, how did Candy do in our limericks?
Well, Candy had two correct answers, Peter. That's good enough to win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations. Thank you so much for playing, Candy.
Bye-bye now.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Faith Saley has the lead, Peter. She has 4 points. Tom Baudette and Paul Provenza are tied for second. Each has 2.
All right. Well, we have flipped a coin, and Paul's elected to go second, so Tom, you're up first. Here we go, fill-in-the-blank. Residents and businesses began cleaning up after massive floods hit blank.
Nashville.
Right. Delegates at the UN conference on nuclear proliferation walked out at the beginning of the blank president's address.
Iranian
right.
president.
The NBA Phoenix Suns wore jerseys saying Los Suns as a protest against Arizona's new blank law.
Immigration.
Right. A team of biologists in Germany have concluded that some Neanderthals may have mated with blank.
Homo sapien.
Yeah. When a mugger in Los Angeles realized the man he was robbing was Johnny Depp, he quickly changed his mind, saying blank.
You're so cool, dude.
No, he said, I ain't stealing from Captain Jack. The CBS News producer who pled guilty to trying to extort money from late-night host Blank began his six-month jail sentence.
David Letterman.
Right. Thrust into the political arena during John McCain's campaign, self-professed regular guy Blank was elected to a Republican Party committee in Ohio this week.
Joe the Plumber.
Right. After years of complaints, a 74-year-old German retiree was finally fined $20,000 for blanking in the local pool.
Washing his dog in the local pool.
For doing cannonballs. Cannonballs, or Arschbombens, as they're called in German, have long been banned at this particular public pool as they are fun and symbolize someone having a good time. As a local newspaper put it, for years he's been, quote, terrorizing fellow swimmers with his explosive Arschbombens. Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Well, Tom had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Tom has the lead.
Well done. All right.
All right.
All right, Paul, you're up next. Fill in the blank.
All right.
The general consensus was that President Obama was funnier than Jay Leno at this year's blank.
Press corps dinner.
Right, White House Correspondents' Dinner. The chairman of the House Transportation Committee is asking the Justice Department to block the merger between United Airlines and blank.
Continental.
Right. Airspace in Ireland and Scotland was closed temporarily this week due to more blank from Iceland.
Ash.
Right. On Wednesday, several consumer groups asked the FTC to investigate blank's privacy practices.
Facebook.
Right. A Colorado man is fighting his local homeowners association because they're preventing him from getting a blank.
Pass.
A guard llama. Best known for playing the title role in the movie Georgie Girl. Blank died at age 67.
Redgrave.
Lynn Redgrave.
Thank you.
2 women from New York and Virginia were selected by the Navy to be among the first women ever to serve on a blank.
Submarine.
Right. A Chicago woman is suing a hair salon after sustaining injuries when she blanked.
Went out to get her new copy of Satirista.
No.
God.
No, when she is suing the hair salon after sustaining injuries when she tried to kick her husband on the sidewalk and fell through the salon's window. Melanie Shaker and her husband are walking down the street, and for reasons unknown, she tried to kick her husband. She slipped and fell through the window of Fass's salon. Naturally, Shaker is suing the salon for not having what is called drunk-proof glass.
Is that true?
Yeah, it keeps clumsy and intoxicated pedestrians from breaking your window.
Wow.
In a strange coincidence, we here at the show are also suing Fass's salon for not having a security camera because, man, we would have loved to see that.
I don't know if you check YouTube.
Carl, how did Paul do in our quiz?
Well, Paul had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points and is tied with Tom for the lead.
All right.
All right.
So how many, then, does Faith need to win the game?
5 to tie, 6 to win outright.
All right, Faith, here we go. This is for the game. Protesters took to the streets, and the Dow plunged after lawmakers in blank approved their austerity bill.
Greece.
Right. 3 days after a massive pipe rupture, the water in blank was officially declared safe to drink.
Boston.
Yep, love that dirty water. The suspect in the Times Square bombing attempt was able to board an Emirates airplane because officials there did not check the updated blank.
No fly list.
Right. Both the House and the Senate voted not to give themselves a blank this year.
Raise.
Right. A Florida man suspected of drunk driving did not do himself any favors when he blanked right before his sobriety test.
Oh, took one last drink.
Yep, finished it. Didn't want to waste it. Frustrated with the way Republicans were blocking the financial reform bill, Harry Reid accused the GOP of wanting to blank Wall Street.
Make love.
Yes, make sweet, sweet love to Wall Street. Just 28 days after it went on sale, Apple broke records by selling over 1 million blanks.
iPads.
Right. An Australian man was busted for bigamy when his first wife saw his blank.
Oh, monotask.
No, he was busted for bigamy when his first wife saw his wedding announcement and photo in the newspaper. Nicholas Trichilis may have non-traditional views on marriage, but he is old-fashioned enough to send a photo of himself and his new wife to the paper where his current wife could see it. He made things worse when he cut the picture out and put it on the fridge. Carl, did Faith do well enough to win? I think she did.
She needed 6 to win. She had 7 correct
Oh,
answers.
My God.
So amazing.
18 points. Faith Saley is this week's champion.
Amazing. Well done.
And we put up a fight, too. This one is amazing.
I fought hard.
She's amazing.
Thank you. I studied.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, after the Gulf oil spill, what the next big man-made disaster is going to be. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. Anne and John Herman, supporting City Year and the young adults who dedicate a year of their lives to community service and leadership development, cityyear.org, and the National Association of Realtors, providing information for those buying or selling their homes at houselogic.com/buy-and-sell. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Christine Fiedler. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchik and Muhammad Mao. Special thanks to Dennis Lucero and the crew at the Pikes Peak Center. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program was produced by Ian Shillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Etkin. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Ski Top Danforth. Now, panel, what will the next big man-made disaster be? Paul Prevenza.
A crippling worldwide pandemic of Bieber fever.
Faith Saley.
Colorado Springs natives Ted Haggard and James Dobson will come out as a couple, hastening the advent of the apocalypse.
And Tom Baudet.
Heidi Montag's next 10 cosmetic surgical procedures.
Well, if any of those things happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also, Tom Baudet, Faith Saley, Paul Prevenza. Thanks to Jeff Beery and Mary Ellen Davis at KRCC. Thanks to the wonderful crowd here at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.